from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You damn Skippy, it starts. You're in the loop right now. Sports Radio 610. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. You can also catch us on YouTube. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then 610 Houston on Twitch. I don't know why that always gets me.
Because it's hard.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. But it makes it easy for people to get involved with the program. And that's what I want first and foremost.
Yeah.
What I want, and I want you to get involved because I want you to tell me, what's the bigger deal? Yordan having a 3-home run day or Arrigetti going 7 innings on a no-hit bid? Because just a fantastic game after a couple of games in this Philly series where you were like, oof, I don't know that this team necessarily stacks up. And of course, baseball, again, marathon, not a sprint. Go ahead and chalk that one up, right? Like, that's the cliche that keeps popping up when you talk about baseball. There it is. But like, this is why you have to keep that
perspective, man.
Yeah, perspective. Yeah. Because you can have a couple of games. You can have a game where you get shut out and then ultimately turn around and drop 10 of them things on a team and make them look stupid.
Yeah, I'm going to answer that, but I want to make a couple of notes here real quick. First of all, how about the courtesy, the gentlemanly courtesy that one Brandon Scott had for us today, did for us today?
What a guy.
I noticed the fact that you guys were doing that for the afternoon show.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I've noticed this because, you know, I'm kind of behind the cameras.
You are.
So I've been noticing that y'all were doing it.
We moved, basically, for those who don't know, we moved to the other side as a courtesy to the morning show. We start there. They don't move. And then in the afternoon, we move as a courtesy to them.
So that they can get going. Yeah.
But
I'm
going to credit you guys for taking the initiative and the leadership on that because I followed y'all's lead. I noticed the move that y'all were making. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that exact same thing.
Thank
extend
you.
The same courtesy that they are extending to
that's
us.
That's a gentleman right there. That is a gentleman right there.
Good job by y'all for setting the tone.
And then the second note.
And good job by B. Scott for holding it down on the morning show. Fantastic listen as always.
And then the second note I want to make is I'm a lover, not a fighter. But back in the day, you know, you're young and dumb and drinking beer at Speedy's in Austin. So I just wanted to clarify that. Now, what's bigger? Man, that's a good question. Because at first I was thinking, Reggie, like, Yordan is bigger because dude hit 3 home runs. And if he gets hot and he starts seeing the ball well again, I put it on the dock this morning. Because if he's doing that, that's bigger.
And it definitely felt like an uh-oh. This is a mashup. This is all three of them right quick.
Through 3 2/3. This ball skied into left field. That'll send Austin Hayes back. He's near the wall. He looks up. It's gone. The big man does it again on the road. Yordan Alvarez, home run number 26 on the year. And the Astros with a 5-run 4th lead it 6-0. That ball scalded to center field. Yordan crushes one to straightaway center. That's in the back of the Phillies bullpen. Second straight home run for Yordan Alvarez. 27 on the year. And it's a 7-0 Astros lead. Chazzy Fizz followed up by Yordan with a smash to center. 3 in a row! The big man is on fire! 3 straight home runs. A laser beam over the wall in
center. I'm not sure what else to say about Yordan.
Yeah, me neither. So if he starts seeing the ball like that again, and it carries into, you know, September and then October and who knows beyond that. I said it last year, Figgy, you know this, and I think I said it earlier this year. The Astros are going nowhere if Yordan is not being Yordan. They're going nowhere. I mean, I get Altuve, Bregman, Tucker if he's healthy. I get it. But Yordan is the absolute, like, paradigm shifter, you know, for this or this organization. That said, I think it's a good question because if Spencer Arrighetti, keep in mind, in August, he had 47 strikeouts and 19 hits he gave up.
Yeah, man. Like, this dude has been cooking, and, like, his stuff has been good, the location's been good, and it's all kind of come to a head as he's going up against the Phillies team that is, like, it is a daunting lineup, right?
Yeah.
You start off with Kyle Schwarber. Trey Turner is one of those guys that can easily be lost in this, but that's a fantastic shortstop, and he's been that. Of course, we all know about Bryce Harper, Alec Boehm, another all-star. Castellanos, like, he's become a meme with, you know, the frequency of his home runs, especially in times of downness. Bryce is not somebody to, like, to look over. That is six dudes that I'm talking about there that are all you know, fairly difficult outs when you talk about you're going up against them. And he had them hitless through seven. Right? Like, through seven, he had them hitless.
Yeah.
And really, it was a... I mean, you could make the argument. I don't want to put this all on Shea Whitcomb himself, right? But you can make the argument that if a defensive substitution was not made in going into the eighth, that Arrighetti could have kept going with that no-hit bid deeper than he even went. And, I mean, that's pretty incredible to say.
Yeah. So, I want to say Yordan, but this is the Arrighetti that you're getting. And and this is another thing... people often throw around the term, well, he's a competitor. And
is that the cliche bell? Is that what we're doing there? Okay, I like it.
That he's a competitor. And they throw it around very casually. But Joe Espada told a story after the game that I thought, like, no, this dude is a real competitor. Listen to the end of this.
How proud of us, of him, that, you know, that's a really good lineup. I don't know if you guys remember, but the last time he faced the Phillies was in Clearwater. So I told him, I told you that you were going to get these guys at some point. And he did. And he said, Joe, I really want Harper. I said, I know you do, son. But this is the end of the day. I give you, you get Harper some other time.
He said, after all that, he said, I want Harper. That is a window into the kind of competitor he really is.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. And that's the kind of pitcher you want in the postseason.
That's exactly it. I think that's the important part of it for me. Like, obviously, he got an opportunity to do something kind of incredible. He was on the verge of doing something even more incredible, which is, you know, possibly getting that full no-hitter going. But the idea that he clearly feels comfortable and confident enough that he wants to face off against the best of the best, well, my man, if this team continues doing what we all believe them capable of, you're going to need to do that, especially when you look at this team and you look at the fact that they have dealt with a rash of injuries when it comes to their starting pitching, right? You've dealt with a lot of injuries to your starting pitching at the top, right? You have a lot of guys that you thought would be kind of, you know, back end of your rotation, maybe even guys that were kind of, you know, substitutes in your
six starter reliever.
And those guys have to now step up. And even if you, you know, shorten your rotation, you're going to have to find guys within that you feel confident being your three to maybe four guys that go out against the creme de la creme of Major League Baseball, because that's the whole point of a postseason in sports, is that you filter out the teams that are no longer as good, and now you're only playing the best ones.
Yeah.
You're playing the best teams, and you need guys that are willing and capable and excited to go up against that level. And he has not only the capability with the stuff, as we've seen over the last, as you mentioned, like, month or plus from him, he now, I mean, we're seeing specifically that he has the temerity, that he has the disposition to want to be in those places in high leverage situations. And so that was really exciting to me to see. I think that I'd probably lean to that side right now as well.
Okay, so I was just going to ask you and Figgy, so where do you fall? I think, and you hit it with Arrighetti. He's willing. He wants Harper. You know, he's been pitching for all this time, throwing the no-hitter. I want Harper. That's what you want in a starting pitcher. As impressive as that is, as important as it is, I'm still going to say Yordan, as much as pitching in the postseason is so important. I think the bigger deal was Yordan, but, man, it is close. So you got to break the tie, Figgy. What's the bigger deal, Yordan or Arrighetti?
I'm going to say Eric Gedde, man. Mm-hmm. I think that was the bigger deal because look where this guy came from, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't expect this from him. And this dude looking like probably one of your best pitchers right now.
Yeah.
And that's a guy that was not expected to be in the big leagues this year. And so I think that's a bigger deal. He's finding his groove, and if they make the playoff, this might be one of the bigger pitchers they have.
No doubt.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, and this is the thing about the Yordan, and I want to turn to the text line because there's other folks that, you know, kind of weighed in from the 281. They said starting pitching yesterday was a bigger deal. Yordan will do what he does on any given day. That's from the 281. And I found that to be interesting because, yeah, Yordan is one of the most feared batters in baseball, and we know that. He was going through a little bit of a struggle himself to send the out of the yard, and it was nice to see him do that, break that in and, like, you know, incredible fashion, like three home runs in a game is notable every single time that you do that. But somebody else went and asked from the 832, can we get stats of Yordan hitting inside versus hitting outside, as in like indoors versus outdoors? Just trying to figure out why he struggles so much at home. And I went to a good old baseball reference to look at this.
How about that?
And when they have it broken down by game conditions.
This is a full service show right here.
I'm trying to do what I can do for the people, man, because that is who I do it for, the people. Yeah. In open situations, batting average of 356. Slugging is 696, good for an OPS of 1.131, right? That's 49 games, good for 191 at-bats. That's a good amount, right?
That's good.
That is a good amount. In a dome, which he only had three games in a dome, I believe that's Tampa, right? Batting 200, ultimately OPS is a 685. Not very great. Retractable roof, I think, is where you end up getting an inside because obviously.
But it's mostly inside, but
like Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
282. Is his average. Mm-hmm. Not bad, but not the incredible, you know, scary, you know, terrifying is the word I should use, hitter that Yordan could be. Slugging is 477, ultimately leading to an OPS of 851, which is still good, but it is interesting that there is a pretty big gap with, I mean, a solid amount of data with the open, you know, outdoor versus kind of indoor situation. That being outside helps him in a great, like a great deal. And I imagine there's going to be an uptick outdoors with, you know, the idea that you're going to get some jet streams and things of that nature that might carry the ball in various situations that'll factor in. But I did not anticipate it being that distinct. And I do wonder if maybe we need to do some diving or you know, maybe talk to Spo or some other baseball folks more in depth as to why that seems to be such a big disparity for indoor versus outdoor, because that's going to matter as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like in order to get the postseason, you will have to win the division, but are you going to be able to get a record that's high enough to where I guess you wouldn't want a record that's high enough, right? Are you going to get the matchups where you're going to be outdoors where he's going to be even more dangerous to teams?
Yeah, I can't put my finger on any, you know, theory of why that might be true, because some stadiums outdoors are hitter friendly, some are definitely not hitter friendly. Philadelphia isn't always depending on where you hit the ball.
No, I'm pretty sure that's considered a pitcher's park.
Yeah, that's a pitcher's park. Depending on, I think right field is friendly in Philadelphia, but other than that, you're going to have to go a long ways, if you're going to hit a home run in Philly. So I can't quite put my finger on that. But again, you know, the bigger story for me last night was the fact that you had Yordan doing Yordan things, and boy, just stay hot, you know, just stay hot, because that's the kind of thing that once you get into the postseason, a hot Yordan changes the you know, algorithm, the math, no matter who you're playing.
Actually, I was wrong. Phillies end up being kind of in a more neutral area, trending a little bit towards a hitter's park.
Yeah.
Shout right out to field baseball
is as I remember, right field's a little easier. But yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like some stadiums are more friendly than others. But I can't place it. I just know that it doesn't matter with Yordan if he's seeing the ball like this.
Yeah. And hopefully you can see that translate as they're making their way back to Houston tonight. They'll get going against the Royals.
Another good team.
Right, another good team. And hopefully they can carry the good vibes and really the good offense. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that was nice as well, because you were starting to get looks of, hey, man, what's happening with this offense? Offense got going. And that really started with the aggression on the base paths of Jose Altuve.
Yes.
I found that to be really interesting, because we know Jose Altuve, like, he had the ignominious is the word that Chandler Rome used in his piece, distinction of having the most caught stealings last year. Mm-hmm. And he's top five this year right now. He got out there and got stole some bases and got home with aggressive base running. And it seemed like that was something that was harped on with the coaching staff, with Joe Espada, and being able to tell, hey, man, the Phillies, this is something that they might be a little susceptible to. And they took advantage of that early to get the vibes going, to like get that kind of tenacity and mentality. And I do wonder, we talk about the dudes on the diamond. Yeah. How much is Joe Espada and like those types of things, those types of edges? How confident do you feel that Joe Espada can give you those types of edges? Because that felt like a huge play that then led to a lot of success in this game.
Yeah, well, let's call it what it is. And we're just being honest, as much as we love Jose Altuve. By all accounts, he's a bad base runner. He is not a good base runner. But that, to me, was even more important that he did that, because when you're trying, and I don't, that was a Jose Altuve joint. I mean, nobody gave him the green light or told him to.
No,
you know that, but was think, just that the, was just awareness.
Well, and then in the meeting ahead of the series, they had maybe kind of a discussion of, hey, this might be somewhere that you can get an advantage.
But it was his call, and I think that's where Jose Altuve's greatness came in last night. When you're trying to get the offense going, as you just illustrated, and we've all known, when you're trying to turn a bad streak around, and they had lost, I think, 6 of 8 is what we were talking about yesterday. You do things like that. You take that risk. And that's not Jose Altuve, a bad base runner, getting lucky. No, that's Jose Altuve, a bad base runner, trying to get something going for his squad. And that's why Jose Altuve is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Astro there's ever been.
For sure. And it did get things going. And I mean, look, if you steal bases early and then you don't hit the ball, you're not going to put up 10 runs, right? Yeah. You still need to go out there and hit the ball. And so shout out to the entire Astros team taking advantage of what, let's be fair, admittedly, not a great pitcher in Taijuan Walker up there. I mean, as of right now, I think also including this game, 6.50 ERA, right? Like, that's not something that's going to be terrifying. But hey, man, you've got to do that. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to take advantage of those things. Also, someone who was able to take advantage of this was a gentleman. Let me see. What's that? What's the number on this one? It was number 7. Cut number 7 here. Fig. This man who had been having such a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us a little bit of joy in that moment.
He's got plenty of family and friends here to cheer him on.
Come on, Chaz.
And TK.
It's been a fun week for me, too, I must admit.
Jazz skies one in the center field. Brandon Marsh going back on it. He'll watch this when it goes. Chaz McCormick in his hometown hits a home run to right center field over the wall where he made that incredible catch in the World Series.
Ma may be here in the stadium, but I'm still going to yell at her. Hey, Ma! The meatloaf!
All right, so he just alluded. That was almost the exact spot where he made that catch in the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was amazing that he hit it there. We're also going to get to this, and we'll probably do it during confessions. Our guys in the afternoon, you know, yeah. Well, there was an update after this, by the way. There was an update, and we'll hear from the afternoon guys for sure.
Well, I mean, I can go ahead and give the update. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about it again. Like, look, man, Jason Hayward's coming as an outfielder to try and help these things along. Chaz, great to have a home run, but clearly he has not been doing all that great. So he's going to Sugarland to hang out with the Space Cowboys. Set to AAA. That's unfortunate, but at least he didn't go down on a bad note, right? Because there was a lot of bad taste in a lot of folks' mouths when it came to Chaz McCormick his play this season.
And it was the right call.
Yeah.
You know, it
You can't make a big decision based off of a small sample of he hit a home run in this game. Ultimately, the offense and the bat has not been there.
It was absolutely the right call, but, it, you know, kind of the look is kind of weird. Hey, great job, Chaz. Grab your stuff. You know,
because, you went out like Joe Pesci and Goodfellas.
Yeah, he did. And one last thing. If you want to watch the Astros this weekend, you are in for three terrific pitching matchups.
Yes.
Terrific pitching matchups. Brady Singer versus Hunter Brown. Mm-hmm. That would be today. Tomorrow, Seth Lugo versus Framber Valdez. And then Cole Reagans against Yusei Kikuchi.
I'm super excited for
those. Those are three really good pitching matchups.
I like the last one a good amount as well. But, I mean, the whole weekend should be fun pitching, and hopefully it'll be some fun hitting for your Astros. But yeah, they got a win yesterday. They get a chance to get at home, and hopefully we can see Yordan go yard again. That'll be fun. But there you go. Astros doing some big things. I think we all landed on the idea. Arrigetti looking like he's doing real high front of rotation pitcher things for your Astros as they head, I guess, down the stretch is the way that I'll say that. Coming up next, right now you're in the loop. Coming up next, we're 1 year into the C.J. Stroud as starter for the Texans' tenure. How have your expectations changed for him over this year? What are your favorite moments? Let's talk about all of that next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Shout out to Yarborough and the Peoples.
Hey.
You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Yeah, that's just to let you know, apparently what we talked about all morning, instead of prepping for this show, which we did prep for the show, don't get me wrong. But we talked about music a whole bunch, and what we learned, myself and Figgy, is that John Lopez, whenever that when that intro plays, he's not hearing Tops Drop by Fat Pat.
Not in the least bit.
He's hearing Don't Stop the Music by Yarborough and the Peoples.
The original.
You're damn right.
1980.
Dude, that's why when I first heard this, they said, what intro you want? I said, that one. That one right there. That one right there. Because, like, this song came out in 1980.
It sure did.
And I was, as you well know by now, I mean, I am all about 70s and 80s funk, like good old, I still play it all the time. Played it this morning on the way in. And this song, I graduated high school in 1980. So I said, that one right there.
You was cutting a rug to this, huh?
I could do it right now.
Okay.
here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. And so, yeah, like, they go, Fat Pat? I said, who the hell is that? See, this is the old school. This is what it's all about here. Which, by the way, it might have been an accident. I'll give Figgy and Parker credit on this. It's the perfect song for you and me. 1980.
Yeah.
And Gen X. Well, are you X? You're X, right?
I'm a millennial.
I'm a millennial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently I, along with my cohorts, got it.
I always ruined
everything. a man who is neither Gen X nor millennial nor
Are you Gen X?
I'm the last of the boomers. Okay, boomers are from 1945 to 1962.
Generations are fun, aren't they?
And I was born in 62, so I'm bringing up the end of boomers.
Okay, yeah. A man who fits into none of those generations. C.J. Stroud, 22 years of age, now has spent a full year as the starter of this Texans team. Well, first of all, like, what have some of your favorite moments, and how have your expectations of him changed? As let's give you a little taste of what you can recall from C.J. Stroud as a Texan starter.
Fourth and goal from the 9. Stroud gets the snap. Stroud, quick throw, right side, caught, touchdown! Dalton Schultz, the Texans are in front on fourth and goal. They convert. What a rocket from C.J. Stroud to the tight end. 4 touchdown passes for C.J. Stroud. 4 different receivers have caught them.
That's the perfect one to play for what has changed for me.
Okay.
Because everybody...
That's when we knew it. Different.
For sure. But going into last season, and by the way, we're bringing this up because a year ago yesterday was when he was named the starter.
That is correct.
Yes. And... so when he was named the starter, actually going into the draft,
and
everybody remembers this, I was more of a Bryce Young guy, but I consistently said, I love C.J. Stroud because of one thing, his accuracy. Like, you know, his accuracy in college, and you guys remember this, I was just like, this dude can put the ball where it needs to be, and that goes a long way in the NFL. I mean, that goes the longest way, the furthest in the NFL. But what has changed from my expectation a year ago to now is I knew he would be accurate. I knew he would be good based on what we had seen in training camp and the preseason sure. and all that. I knew he'd be good. What I didn't know, what's changed is he's got, I mean, I'm not, I refuse to hit the cliche bell because I've already done it twice, but he's got like that something that very few quarterbacks have. Now you hit it.
Got that it factor.
Dude, they become
just built different.
They become cliches because they're true. Like they
just know how to win.
He's got the look. How many of these different ways can we say this? How many different ways can we say that? But he does. He absolutely does.
So what he got?
He's got that special something. He does. You can hit that cliche bell all you want. I didn't know, nobody could have said that a year ago. We knew he'd be good.
Right. And I think the thing that's impressed me quite a bit, and look, I'm sure that this is not novel by any means, mm-hmm. right? I don't think anything we can say at this point is novel because yeah. locally, we've been gushing over him for a year. Nationally, people have been gushing over him. Mm-hmm. I just am amazed when you have somebody who is young that shows a crazy amount of maturity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, well beyond their years, the level of you know, kind of awareness, especially in places in positions that are not built for you to have that maturity
that soon, especially
right. Like as we know, quarterback, one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, position in sports. There's a lot that is often heaped upon you, and mm-hmm. I know in some instances there are ways to simplify, there are ways to make this easier for various you know different people, but at the level that you know you want very good players to play at in mm-hmm. the NFL, there's a lot that's expected of you. And in that way, C.J. Stroud has shown a level of maturity. And I always say it like, a rookie is going to look like a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was minimal in the instances where it was like, oh, that's a rookie right there, right? Yeah. Like, he looked like a dude that you could heap all of the regular expectations and pressures and not worry about folding, right? Like, there's the general
concern. But that's a different way of saying what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Like that special something, you're saying maturity, but that's, they're both in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the way to lay out why I believe that's so important mm-hmm. is because that then raises the floor, right? If we're not concerned about, oh man, we got to make sure that we get him into the offense. We got to make sure that we're not putting him into difficult situations. That changes the height of where you can go, mm-hmm. right? And that's the on the field aspect of it, right? Yeah. Like we can get to more difficult concepts when we know that the basics are taken care of, yeah. right? I am like 500 days into Duolingo trying to get my Spanish right. you know, even though I took like 4 years of it in high school and college you, and all those things, and still
say taqueria arandas.
You got the audio for me. I'm pretty sure
taqueria arandas.
Yeah, that's exactly how I said it. No, but like in going into Duolingo, because I had that previous, you know, that previous experience, I jump into the app and I'm like, oh, well, I got this. We can get to something more advanced quicker. Yeah. That's what CJ Stroud did. That was super impressive to me. But then on top of that, like managing the locker room, like that's the thing that's tough, right? Mm-hmm. He's 22 years old, walking up on 27, 28, 30, 32 year olds. And they're all willing to go, I got to get behind this dude. And not only do I have to get behind this dude, I have to like listen to what he says and like really treat him as a leader, right? Yeah. There's one thing behind, but besides your position grants you authority. There's another thing behind, besides you as a human being, I'm willing to follow
your
behind.
Your locker room grants you authority.
And he's done that in spades. Like I'm impressed by that.
No, it is. You know, and quarterbacks study quarterbacks. And I say that because we always are somewhat more impressed when a quarterback talks about a young guy. And Dan Pastorini, my buddy, is in the building today on some business, and I saw him in the hall, and I sat down and just started chatting with him. And of course, inevitably, it turns to C.J. Stroud. And Pastorini knows a thing or two. He's the last quarterback to take this team to an AFC championship twice. He knows a thing or two about the city, I should say.
About
getting there. And he said something that I actually gave him an out. Like, it was like I was almost, we were just chatting. It was like I was interviewing him. And I was like, are you sure you want to say that? Because he goes, he's the best I've ever seen. And I went like, oh, you mean like in Houston? He goes, did you hear what I said? Oh, you mean like since Tom Brady? I said, he's the best I've ever seen. He said, and he actually stood up and was illustrating, when the ball needs to be right here, it's here. When it needs to be low to avoid the DB, it's here. When it needs to be outside, it's here. And then he goes, when it needs to be in the bucket, he was doing the hand gestures and everything.
Yeah.
It's there. He says, that's something that is just, you know, you're born with. And Figgy, you were saying, I was giving him some outs, and he's like, he's the best I've ever seen. And what were you saying?
It's funny. He said the same thing to me. So I interviewed him on the red carpet at the Houston Sports Awards, and I didn't even bring up C.J. Stroud. I just asked him about the whole Tennessee wearing the Oilers stuff.
Yeah.
And he went from that to C.J. Stroud. So this is how that went.
Yeah, sure. It seems weird, you know, our uniform being on the field anywhere, you know, but it's nice to be remembered. And the fact of the matter is, the legacy goes through Tennessee, unfortunately. Our hearts are here in Houston. I live in Houston. A lot of the Oilers still live in Houston. This is our town. And, you know, we're supportive of the Texans, and especially this year. They had such a great year. DeMeco Ryans, C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback, I'll say it right now, the best quarterback I have ever seen or ever played against. And this kid's going to be a Hall of Famer. He keeps his head on straight, and they protect him. He's going to set all kinds of records here.
That came out of nowhere.
I had to end the interview after that. I'm like, all right.
And I'm just chatting with my buddy in the hallway. He goes, did you hear what I said?
That leapt out of his spirit. Like, yeah. It was weighing. I was like, I need you to know that C.J. Stroud is going to be a Hall of Famer and the best quarterback ever.
When he said best quarterback I ever seen, I was thinking like, man, is this dude high? You know what I mean? The good quarterbacks we seen.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang.
So even if he's not, Pastorini studies quarterbacks. Brady studies quarterbacks. You know,
was it JT O'Sullivan who does the quarterback school? Yeah. He did a breakdown of C.J. Stroud in the preseason maybe a week or two ago. And he, you know, just is heaping praise upon this guy. That's a guy who studies quarterbacks.
So that's the difference. A year ago to now, you got experts in the field, people who played the game to the AFC championship saying, no, he's the best.
And so, look. Here's to year two, I guess, is what I have to say, right?
Yeah. It's buckle up.
It is, and look, I know year two comes with kind of the cliches of, you know, oh, well, they've got tape on you, and I don't know that I saw anything from what he did where it was like, oh, but that was just a lack of preparedness that had to handle that, you know, once they're more prepared, they'll be able to handle him. Oh, no. Like, this is just, he has a level of skill and maturity, and he has places where he can improve and is improving. I know that Seth Payne of Payne and Pendergrass, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 610, has been like really high on the idea of that pocket presence and his ability to like move shit and shift just barely, as opposed to like making big dramatic moves in the pocket to get yourself in a better place. Those things as well. He's getting better at and has an opportunity to improve at. So I'm super excited to see where we are, you know, August 28th, August 29th of 2025, looking back at season two with C.J. Stroud, or year two with C.J. Stroud, because I've been thoroughly pressed through one. I can only imagine where he goes in year two. It's In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, our question of the day. What's the single most exciting play in all of sports? 713-572-4610 is the number. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Question of the day, ladies and gentlemen. What is the single most exciting play in all of sports? 713-572-4610 is the number to text to get involved. You can also respond on YouTube and Twitch. I'm looking at those as well. We're getting people chiming in, weighing in. Before we get there, we were talking about the full year one of CJ Stroud as Texans starter, as he was named starter a year ago yesterday.
Yeah.
By D'Amico Ryans. And Villa Maurice on the YouTube said, just like Tom Brady, that is, CJ can go get that Super Bowl year two with a strong squad. I think that is plausible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's even a little different than Tom Brady, because it feels like, and I'll pull up the stats just to make sure that I'm 100% right on this.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady in year two, still, I don't think he had nearly the command of the offense that CJ Stroud already does. Like, he is so integral to how they go about things,
yeah,
and how they will go about things passing the football compared to Tom Brady. I think that if they manage to make it happen, it will be more impressive.
I think Tom Brady reached that level in the postseason. If I'm remembering that season right. It was like the man, look at what the Patriots are doing. Great defense, running game.
It kind of reminded me of Brock Purdy a little bit.
Back then.
Yeah, back then.
Yes.
Where, you know, you wasn't the best. You ain't had to do too much
because
you had a great cask around you.
And then in the postseason is when you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now he's carrying this squad.
Yeah.
So that's what it felt like. But, I'm with you. I think there is no, no mistaking that this is more CJ Stroud,
you know,
than back then it was Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, look, there's a long way to go till you get to a Super Bowl situation. And D'Amico Ryans actually talked about that on Nightcap with Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp. We'll get to that later during the program. But right now, question of the day, what do you believe is the most exciting play in all of sports? And that was inspired by a little bit of baseball by the Astros.
Pena, a close play at first. Altuve's going to try to score, and Jose's in there.
Caught him sleeping.
Bryce Harper taking his time on that close play at first, and Altuve noticed and took off for the plate and scored the first run.
Jose Altuve feeling a little risky out there, took a risk and scored.
Stealing home is on the list.
Oh, yeah, it's up there.
Stealing home is on the list. But I, for me, stealing home is probably more appropriately on the list. When it's a true old school, the pitcher goes into his windup and the dude takes off.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to catching Bryce Harper sleeping and technically getting us. I mean, it's still an awesome play, don't get me wrong. But, like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's always funny. The pitchers just be sitting there and kind of dozing off. And all of a sudden, he's trying to throw the ball fast and miss him totally.
That's the most awesome stolen home. Like the old Jackie Robinson clip that we see
you know,
from the postseason. The guy goes into the windup and Jackie Robinson just takes
off. All you see is dirt everywhere.
He's like, I'm going to beat the pitch home is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I mean, I really want to just put like most stolen bases up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, am I just like not being appreciative? It feels like a stolen base doesn't have that same je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, but stealing, that's impressive. But stealing home.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, I'm right there
where
with
the ball is going.
Yes.
The ball is going there.
Yeah.
To me, that is definitely on the list. I got some other candidates.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much excitement in sports. Hell, if there weren't more candidates, what are we doing with sports?
Why are we even here? And then you guys add yours as you see fit. But these are the ones that popped into mind for me. Inside the park home run.
Definitely.
Dude. Okay.
Baseball, when you get things, action on the base paths, real action, that's where I think it gets super exciting. And, of course, baseball for the heady fans and heady observers, like, it's that battle between pitcher and hitter. Like, what is the sequences? What are you trying to accomplish? What is that cat and mouse game? But I guess for like the unwashed masses like myself, like, hey man, get on these base paths, run around, like let's see that level of competition And if you're going all the way around and we're seeing the panic in the outfield of an outfielder trying to gather the ball and you send it in and cutoffs and all those types, you know, hell, even the Little League World Series where you have somebody throwing the ball into the outfield, those types of things end up being very entertaining. And so you get all of that kind of in that inside of the park situation.
You got a shot into the gap and you got a fast dude at the plate and he just turns it on.
Yeah, man.
You know what's coming. You can feel the buildup. And then, oh, they're sending him, you know, from third. And
the play at the plate.
That's an exciting play.
Yeah, we start getting down to, like, the essence of competition, which for me is, like, running, right? Like, if you just get down to, I am running and I will beat you to this point.
Yeah.
Right? That's where, I think that's the very essence of, like, sports competition. You cannot beat me to this point.
Yeah.
And you kind of get that's that.
It's a great play.
Hey, man, I'm at second. I'm turning the corner on third. You going to beat me at home? Because I'm getting there first.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, too, because the first thing, the first play I thought about is a kickoff return.
Yes. Kickoff returns up there.
Yeah, no matter how it's going, man, when somebody get the going and get in the open field and just running for their life.
Yeah.
That's always that always make you stand up a little bit, like
especially because you have that roller coaster of emotions where you're like, I think we've gotten to the place where kickoffs were like, this is routine, and then you start on the uptick where you go, is that a gap? Nah, he not gonna hit it. Oh, I think he's hitting it, and then you're at that high, and you're like, one more to beat.
Then you see the kicker kind of flailing, trying to get.
No, you hear the commentary like, oh, he got room, he got blockers.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Is kick return better than punt return though?
Yes, I like kick return better.
Yeah,
that's 100. That's 100 yards, man. The other three that I have on my list, you can technically say all three are football, but one is with a U, and that is a PK save for a win. Like you're like, the dude puts the soccer ball on the spot. The goalkeeper, the goalie's just kind of trying to figure it out. Dude just slams a shot to the net. Boom, saves it. They win. I love a PK save. I love a PK save.
And as a soccer guy, like, I love a PK save in the right stakes. A lot of this requires the stakes.
World Cup, Euro Cup, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know that I'm putting this as high. I do wonder, can I interest you fine gentlemen in a posterized dunk?
Oh, for sure.
Right? Yeah. Just an open court dunk. That is what it is, and maybe we've just gotten so many of them that it's not as high. But when you have, again, I'm going to beat you to the spot. You're trying to stop me, but I will throw this ball through the hoop regardless. Like a real dunk. I don't want these Blake Griffins. I'm tossing it in. Like, I'm really, like, on top of your head top.
Let me add a level to that.
Okay.
A posterized dunk off an alley-oop.
Oh.
That to me is like, woo. You're like, what is he doing? Oh.
Yeah.
Two more. Hail Mary TD. Hail Mary touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big one for me.
Will you go Hail Mary? Or would you rather go like
a last second,
the lateral, we are throwing the ball around, pitchy pitchy woo woo, as Scott Van Pelt will call.
Yeah. And then the last one for me, and maybe this is just a personal preference. I love a good fake field goal, man. I love a good fake field goal.
Oh yeah. Fake field goal, especially because we're getting dudes that are not intended to do this way.
Yes.
A lot of times, sometimes you'll have like either a quarterback getting out here a punter or a kicker.
When was the last time we seen a fake field goal? We usually see fake punts.
You don't see them as much.
Yeah, you see fake punts.
Yeah.
But we don't really see a fake field goal now.
I like the fake punt too.
I like the fake punt too.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. What about like as far as other sports, like a boxing, like a knockout?
Oh, yeah.
An early knockout.
Like a
Tyson. Oh, they're about 37 seconds. Oh, that's it.
Knockout. Like, not a TKO. Because, look, a TKO, a true knockout, exhilarating. Because that's what we're all here for. We get into that primal part of ourselves where we're like, oh, kill him. And it's like, wait, I don't think we should say that. I don't think that's what it should be. But, man, he is out of there. Knockout.
Even if you, like, in the eighth round or something like that, and then you just hit him, he goes down. He's down.
Somebody said triple play from the 970, which is an exciting play, but to me they're almost kind of lucky. They're often just like
a little bit
line drive, boom boom boom, okay, triple play, cool. But is it the most exciting play in sports?
I don't know. I'd rather see, and maybe this is just, I do wonder how many of these are actually defensive situations. Right. We're leaning all offense in a lot of these, and I'm wondering, are we erring in that focus? Are there defensive situations that we're missing? Well, I guess
pick
interception
six.
Return. There you
pick
go. Pick six.
Yeah. Pick six.
There's definitely the defense there, right? Yeah. Like, especially, and I do wonder, does it have to be a pick six by the secondary?
No, sometimes you get the big man. Yeah, the big man pick six is the best.
JJ
man.
Here JJ against the Bengals in the postseason.
Yeah, or seeing somebody like a Vince Wilfork just going and going and going and get there. I think he
Fat man touchdown in general is always
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah.
Right, you just get an offensive lineman like seeing that the ball is on the ground. Well, I will pick this up and I will take care of this.
Or even last year, last season, remember Andrew Beck? He returned to a kickoff return.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like that we were
fullback return for a touchdown.
We were super excited because it looked bad. It looked like he kind of fumbled everything, and we like, oh Lord, Andrew Beck got the ball and he took it to the house.
You go to the rumbling, stumbling. Like you just get that feeling. Man.
You know what else? And I just thought of this one because we saw it Saturday, and Metcalf did it as well for Seattle. The rundown. For the hustle rundown.
Yeah. It was some guy for the Giants that ran down.
He weighed like 280.
Yeah, he ran. Did he run down? Was it British?
J.J. Taylor?
Or J.J. Taylor. Taylor.
Yeah.
He ran him. I know he was out of bounds early, but.
I love a good big man hustle.
He ran him down.
I know,
man.
Metcalf is a receiver, but dude, that was.
Oh, that was legendary, man. That should have been a pick six.
Yeah. Shout out to some more baseball ones coming through. 409 says suicide squeeze. Okay. I'm with you there. 281, I think I agree with this one. Strike him out, throw him out.
Happened to the Astros this week.
Those are pretty exciting. I will not lie in that regard. Chaz McCormick type series-saving catch. Yeah, robbing a home run over the wall.
Yeah.
Is really exciting. Depending on the wall too. Like sometimes you see somebody climb up there barrier, what have you.
Yeah.
Like someone going up. Or hell, Mauricio Dubon. Running into the wall, obviously not the outcome of that was a little scary, but that was exciting seeing him out in the outfield. And then even yesterday, he had another one of those situations at the wall where he goes up.
Another one I like in baseball is when you think you hit a double and you run around base and you get caught at second.
Oh, yeah.
That one where he grabbed the ball and like, uh-oh.
Especially from an outfielder put
out. Yes.
The 281 actually said a second ago, I saw that, like the ultra long throw.
Oh yeah, when somebody just puts it on a rope.
Yeah,
like some dude in right field.
He gonna try for two.
No, he isn't.
Yeah. He's out at the plate.
And then of course we'll end here because I think this is a great one. Just a goal line stand.
Big time.
Goal line. Just stonewalling somebody.
Big time.
Like you need an inch. You need a few. Maybe a feet. A foot rather. And we're not giving it to you. Yeah. We're stonewalling you. Exciting play. There you go. Yeah. I just got my juices going, man. Yeah. I'm so excited now. I want to see.
I like the buzzer beaters too, man.
Buzzer beater jumpers,
especially
good too,
in
for sure.
March Madness buzzer beater.
Ooh, yeah. If you specify March Madness,
buzzer 100% beater.
100% because of stakes. I love that.
Yeah.
Most exciting play in sports. I don't know that we got to the single, but we enjoyed a lot of the exciting plays in sports. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where Noah Brown, he didn't stay out there on the market yet. We'll talk about that and more next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.